Countless Screaming Argonauts is brought to you by Shane Ryan and Seth Curry Saves Duke, a blog featuring sports analysis on the country's two most hated teams, the Duke University Blue Devils and the New York Yankees.
Uh-huh. That was the whole point. He fucking Wolf Blitzer's his bitch, though.
No, no, go back and listen.
Is the extreme left of the far right? Isn't that the middle?
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts, your podcast of record. I am T-Fat P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm still Max.
And I'm Josh.
And we're joined by our friend Joshua, friend of the podcast, a contributing member. Today is Monday, May 16th, 2010. This is episode 184. On tonight's show, I think we'd like to start with an update or two, like we often do.
We do like to do our updates.
We do. And Max, this was directed at you a little bit, I believe.
Okay.
Way back in January, we did our prediction show.
Uh-huh. And
one of the predictions that we talked about was who was going to be running in the GOP, running for the GOP presidential nomination.
Okay.
And if I'm correct, and I may not be, we may have to check the audio tape on this.
We've already got to go back for two or three checks on the audio tape.
I believe that both Denali and I said that Mike Huckabee would not run, but you said you thought he would run.
No, no, go back and listen.
Well, he announced this week that he's not going to run.
I said he wanted the money.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think that was it? That's not why I think he's not doing it, but that's...
I'm just saying... I'm right again.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it may be. I think it's the skeletons.
There's nothing in my car.
This is like a pretty recent update, if you like. But, you know, your man Trump, he said he's not going for it.
No, he's not going either. He's another one who's dropped out.
All right. What about Trump? Was he brilliant and just flogged his own show while he did his bullshit politics? Or did he have a real hole in his belly, a fire in his belly about running?
Do you think he was even doing real politics? I mean, think about it. All he basically did in the 6 weeks or so that he ran was contradict anything that Obama said or did and ask for his birth certificate. That's all he did.
Which makes him a standard...
That's all he wanted, to do, you know, was do the whole birther thing.
Uh-huh.
That was the whole point. He fucking Wolf Blitzer is his bitch, though. He was on fucking CNN more than Osama bin Laden. The fucking we're with Donald Trump again. Holy Christ!
That's true, because he was lobbing grenades every 10 minutes. I think for 15 minutes he wanted to run. I think he was running. And
I don't think he wasn't.
And I think
he's too much of a businessman.
I think he's also too much of an egotist. And he thought he was cool. When he made his press conference after Obama released the second birth certificate and Trump said, "I'm really, really proud of myself," I think he was in it both feet at that point. And then he started listening because he's an egomaniac and he watches everything people say about him. And everybody said, "You're a joke." And he went, "Oh, yeah. You can't say, listen, you motherfuckers, to the Chinese like he did. I'm going to raise your taxes 25%. I mean, really, come on. You're gonna.
And you know what he did? He goes, he's talking about China with Wolf Blitzer there, you know, and he's saying we got to cut down the deficit and we're borrowing too much money from the Chinese and all this, right? And then I think he gets in the room down at, you know, Trump Tower and all his boys say, Donald, the Chinese own about 37% of the casinos, you know, that you have yourself, so you probably really don't want to
piss them off.
If you go slagging the Chinese, they might just close 6 or 8 of your fucking hotels, you know?
I think you're exactly right.
It was also a really busy last week or 10 days for the GOP in general. You got Huckabee says he's out. The Donald says he's out. Newt Gingrich says he's in. Ron Paul says he's in. And as much as Donald Trump was saying and being proven a dick, certainly Ron Paul is not making a whole lot of friends out there either. I mean, he talked about on CNN to Wolf Blitzer, the bitch. He said that he wanted to do away with FEMA. Did you hear that comment? He said it's a moral hazard to say. He said, Ron Paul said to Blitzer, it's a moral hazard to say that the government is always going to take care of us when we do dumb things.
Yeah, like getting away from a hurricane.
He's referring to the hurricane and the tornadoes and the floods.
It's your flood and disaster guys, FEMA, right?
Right, yeah.
Right.
That's officially dumb now, is it?
I guess so. Don't do dumb things, basically. He's saying, don't get hit by a tornado.
It's very dumb to put your house in the way of a tornado.
Right. Don't do any floods. Don't do any wildflowers like they do out in California. Don't do any earthquakes. Like we're,
I just got one other. Don't run for president. You don't have a fucking brain, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I was listening to Planet Money, and they did an extended thing over a course of a couple of days about the gold standard. And if I'm not mistaken, Ron Paul is in favor of going back to the gold standard. And one of the experts, actually several of the experts, all but one, said the reason we got out of the Depression – the single biggest reason we got out of the Depression was mm-hmm. that we went off the gold standard in, I think, 1932. Because, I'm not smart enough to explain it, but basically that allowed the economy to expand. When you only have, you know, $180 billion in gold, you can only have a $180 billion economy.
And interesting.
By all experts except one, just have to go off the gold standard.
Right. Interesting.
Don't you have a combination though? You have the gold and you have silver and you have all your other. It isn't really just gold alone, right?
Well, you're right, but it's very much largely gold. Yes, there's silver. There used to be silver certificates, and everything was backed by some sort of specie, and. It's just not necessary. And they told a story about the British guy who was the Chancellor of the Exchequer and how the reporters were all waiting for him at the dock when he was coming back from some cross-ocean excursion, and he jumped off the boat and, like, swam to shore and sneaked onto the land because he didn't want to explain to the people that they were out of money and basically – what they said he needed to do was take Britain off the gold standard.
I think we have to be careful talking about the gold standard because eventually somebody's going to say that Obama has to show us the gold certificates at Fort Knox, you know?
Well,
we'll blame him for that too.
But we don't have to have as much gold as we have cash now.
Uh-huh.
And
well, the cash you can keep fucking printing it.
Right, which is also
more, you know?
And this administration, I have to admit, has printed about $1 trillion more than existed before, which should lead to inflation, which from what I'm hearing from listening to Think Planet Money is actually a really good thing because we were very desperately close to deflation, which is much more horrible.
So it's the lesser of two evils.
It is. Deflation means the shit you're making ain't worth as much, and therefore you have to cut jobs in order to, you know, pay your bills. And before you know it, with less jobs, you have less people buying stuff and blah, blah, blah. What you want is a very small margin of constant inflation, 1.4% or something like that.
Yeah. And I need to bring this up just because it's part of the discussion, but I don't want to get into a big thing because I don't want to give him the time. But Newt Gingrich also got in to the race.
Yeah.
And immediately Pat Buchanan called him a liberal. Did you see that?
That's great.
Pat Buchanan said that Newt Gingrich is on the extreme left of the GOP. Extreme left. He called him an extremist. And I think that that's hysterical. I just, you know.
Yeah,
he is. This whole system is just so screwed up.
It's out of
shape. You know, Josh, you look at this stuff, you must think that we're a bunch of clowns.
That's crazy. Is the extreme left of the far right? Isn't that the middle?
It's pretty middle. It is pretty
middle. So, you know, next thing they're going to come out, they're going to say he's a centrist, you know?
Yeah. That's a really
it's
good
like
point.
The laws of physics don't apply, though, you know? They don't really.
Oh, no, not in politics, they don't.
Maybe that's where he wants to be, is you know, for somebody to say he's a centrist.
Well, if you know, isn't that the whole boxing out theory, Max? We've talked about this. You try to get to the, you know, closer to the center without.
You get as far to the side your party tends to go on as you mm-hmm. can, and then get one step closer to the middle.
Right.
So boxing out all the other people.
All the other people behind you. So, I mean, right. That's what that is, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's a good point. I heard him – I just saw a little thing on the news this evening where he said that he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, which is the correct name for the recent health care.
Obamacare, right.
I'm going to try to not say that because it's used pejoratively. But they also have tons – is what I heard on MSNBC, which I know is liberal, but there you go. They had tons of stuff of him saying – we ought to do this. We ought to have a mandate from, you know, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 years ago when it was a Republican idea and everybody on the Republican side and the conservative side. It just goes to show how far things have gotten out of shape. That was a conservative idea.
Right. But, you know, the other thing is he talks out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. When Paul came out with that plan that everybody said was going to kill Medicaid. Okay, the plan, what do they call it? The plan for fiscal whatever.
Paul Ryan?
All right. Yeah, when Ryan came out with that,
yeah,
he said, what a great idea. This is what we should be doing. And then as soon as it got pointed out to him that it's going to affect Medicaid really negatively and there's this huge voter block that won't let you touch that, he said, well, maybe we need to reconsider this whole thing.
Yeah, do you ever
Look at his reaction to Libya. The day or 3 days before Obama approved us going in, he said, the president is not doing enough.
Right.
He should be in there doing it. And then the day he announced that we're going in there, he said, why is he going in there?
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
The Republicans, for a large number of them at least, reflexively say the opposite of whatever it is Obama's doing. They just do.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I think that we're going to see that for the next 18 months for sure.
Oh, it's going to be ugly. But,
yeah,
you know, at least we won't have – and maybe this is sad. We won't have Donald Trump to
laugh at?
To call the Chinese motherfuckers.
He has a hell of a hairdo, you know? Put that down. It's a classic.
Can you actually call that a hairdo? I know it's kind of tough, but...
Let me go back to your other guy for a second. It's just, I tell people, you know, names of people from Ireland, and they don't get it, because we do got, you know, it sounds strange names when you bring them here to the States, you know, Egan and all kinds of things, you know. But I try to tell people, I say, at least they don't have a fucking guy running for federal office named after a lizard. I mean, it's just ridiculous news. I just see little scales coming out of his arse, you know.
It would be a lot of fun for the political artists and cartoonists.
Yeah, the cartoon guy said to make the little tail coming out of there.
I know that he's going to have trouble. I mean, the one thing that bothers me about our politics is that Iowa and South Carolina are so important. Because Iowa is religiously conservative, and South Carolina is just South Carolina. And, you know, we have this politics, and the left goes left the same way. But mm-hmm. there's every reason for politicians to tack toward the extreme. And so we get these extreme candidates – whereas most people are probably somewhere toward the middle.
See, I disagree with you. If you're going to get the money, you got to end up in the middle. I don't think they tack to the extreme. I think they tack right down the middle because they say, I'm not too far from this and I'm not too far from that. so they can hit all the wallets they need.
Well, that happens, I think, after the primaries. But right now...
To get to the primaries, you mean? Yeah.
Gingrich is going to have trouble is in Iowa because those people don't like people who have been divorced.
Have three wives, yeah.
Yeah. How is he going to spin that? Especially since he got a divorce while his first wife was dying. You know,
of cancer, right.
It just doesn't warm the cockles of your heart.
No, he made her sign the papers while she was in the hospital. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I tell you.
You need some cold-hearted...
She wasn't much use to him, you know.
And did you hear his explanation for it?
No, what did he say?
Said he came out with his first speech when he started to explore the exploratory committee that he loved America so much that he worked so hard at his job that he fell into a wrong relationship. Mm-hmm. But it was because
I worked so late at night, I didn't have a lot of time to get home, so I had to get going out on the road. And just real quickies.
I'm talking about spin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the way it goes, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to fly to the religious conservatives.
Well, we'll see.
You guys run across the campaign button for Newt. Get me one, I'll buy you a beer.
All right.
Like a Newt badge. Really would.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I think maybe enough about politics, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we go on to some other topic?
Okay.
I got another sort of update, something that, Max, that you and I did a long, long time ago when we were talking about the problem with the bees dying.
Right, right.
The whole colony collapse disorder.
Right, when we were talking to books from upstate.
Right, we even had an expert, bee expert, right, talking about it. Well, there's a researcher, Daniel Favre, yes, and it's spelled exactly the way the quarterback's name is spelled.
Well, I told you, I saw a guy on the TV say that Brett Favre pronounces his name wrong. It's
well, Favre. Daniel Favre of the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology just finished a study of bee deaths.
Yeah.
And he is publishing a paper that says that it is due to disorientation caused by wireless phone signals.
Wow.
He did a study, and he said that that honeybees make this sound, this subsonic or supersonic sound, when they are confused. And that if you have a cell phone nearby or a cell tower nearby them, that you get 10 times the amount of noise that they're generating, and basically they get so confused, that tragically befuddled is the way he explains it, wow, and it kills them.
Brings a whole new meaning to the term, honey, it's for you.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
All right, sorry.
I think tragically befuddled is the perfect description of your man, Manhattan, when he's tragically befuddled.
Yeah, that is a great expression.
That's grand.
That should be the name of a podcast.
That could be. Anyway, in his study, he basically, one of the things that he did, tested it a lot of different ways, but one of the ways that they tested it is he waited for the honeybees to leave a hive, and then they put cell phones on either side of the hive. Yeah. And the bees would not return to the hive, even though they were loaded with pollen.
Wow. Well,
they would not go back, and eventually they started dying off. So he's convinced.
Wow.
And he.
It was only because they had Sinead O'Connor and ringtones. You know? Everybody went away. They just left. They wouldn't come back.
Right. And the other thing he said was that the whole colony collapse disorder thing has been around since 1972. I mean, they blamed it on pesticides. They blamed it on microorganisms and stuff like that.
Right.
But that the biggest loss of bees has occurred since 2006, which is when cell phones became
ubiquitous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody got a cell phone after that, you know.
Yeah. Yep. That's about when I got one.
I mean, it's kind of interesting. I certainly am not in favor of getting cell phones for the bees, but But, I mean, you know, we as a population in this country depend on our agriculture, depends on that tremendously. I mean, I live out in the country, and we have an orchard that is within almost walking distance of my house. And, I mean, they bring in truckloads of bees every this time of the year.
Yeah, I hadn't realized it, but there are businessmen whose job it is to transport bees to pollinate fields.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, they got to do something. I'm not sure what it is.
Well, that's a hugely naughty problem, if that's right.
All right, so onward and upward. I saw a thing this week on Live Science website that said that there's going to be a report that comes out very, very soon stating that North America was settled by a total of 70 people. 70 people.
Wow.
They did a DNA study where they compared Native American DNA and European DNA.
And European?
In European, because of the land bridge in Bering Strait.
Well, so those would be Asian.
You're right. Maybe I read it wrong. You're right. Asian and Asian and well, it can't be Native American either. What am I?
Well, Native Americans are, as I understood it, genetically closer to Asians than they are to Europeans. I mean, we're all, you know, 1 or 2% different.
Right. 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 Yep. So anyway, they only found nine like differences and stuff, and they've narrowed it down. They think that it was about 70 individuals who came over between 12 and 14,000 years ago.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Those 70 people,
mm-hmm.
You realize then all they did, huh? Right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's about all they did.
Well,
drank,
it was cold. You know, I mean, just because you could see Russia doesn't mean that you're going to be warm.
Again, she says, again.
So basically they ate, drank, and they procreated.
Yeah. Those guys are my heroes. They're my men. There you go.
And and as you move south, eventually you start brewing coffee.
There you go.
You know, you get down to Seattle.
And that's what gets you warm up. And before you know it, you're surfing in California.
That's it. You know, because there's there's all those Inuit surfers.
Right.
Look, they got orange groves.
We don't have to have scurvy anymore.
Perfect. Hey, anybody know what May 13th was the birthday of?
May 14th.
Just the last couple of days ago? May 13th?
No.
Was the birthday of Velcro.
Wow. I did not.
53 years ago, Velcro was given its patent.
No kidding.
Oh, really? Velcro's 50 years old, is it really?
Yes, it is. Isn't that amazing? Brainchild of Swiss electrical engineer George Demaistre.
I thought it was invented for the space program.
No, see, that's what everybody thinks, but no, it wasn't. It was invented by a Swiss electrical engineer who walked through the woods and got the seeds of a thistle stuck in his clothes and wondered how it happened. And he then spent 10 years perfecting it.
Huh.
And 53 years ago today, he got the patent
made
for it.
Dresses for Inger, and there she went that work too.
Yeah, I had always figured that thistles stuck because there was sap on them. It's not that.
No, they stick because they got a barb. Yeah.
They got spiky, pointy things.
Yes.
Wow.
And hey, I got one for you from learning my American stuff. I got one if it's okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. You know, I miss Irish beer. I really do, you know. But if you're going to drink American beer, they got in the bar, they got Sam Adams, right? So right, it's right. A good beer, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's Sam Adams on your bottle of Sam Adams beer, right?
The picture, his picture on it, yeah.
Nah, it's not Sam Adams. It's not Sam Adams. It's Paul Revere.
So what do they call it?
I swear to Christ, it's not fucking Sam Adams.
So what do they call it? Paul Revere beer?
I don't know. Ask Jim Cook.
Because Paul Revere didn't make beer, probably. Sam Adams made beer, and he was shy.
So then why did they use his picture? I mean, come on.
All right, I'll take it upon myself to do an email.
Isn't it a truth in advertising thing? If you have a bottle and it's called Sam Adams and there's a man's picture on it, shouldn't you be able to assume that that's who it is?
You would think so.
Man,
what you would think.
They're just pulling our leg all the time.
We were pissing off the bar maker. She says, give us another Paul Revere. And she's looking around for the tap handle. She can't find it. And she's looking at us. That's not funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. But, you know, it could be that just Sam Adams made the beer. And you know,
I guess.
He liked the picture of his friend Paul better.
Paul Revere drank it. Won it by land.
and I'll have another.
That's right. Two is by sea. There you are.
You know what? I remember that story, but I don't remember which way they came in. Was it by land or by sea?
Oh, it was in a boat.
Okay. So he had
second,
beers.
The second light went up, and here I am, the Irishman, telling you. Say, mate,
and he's a history major too.
Make us learn this shit before you can take the oath, you know.
Yeah.
Two lanterns in the old North Church. Here comes the boat, and then everybody in class says, "Well, what about the Minutemen that came walking right down the middle of the street? Well, how the fuck do you think they got in from England? Did they walk?"
So you're taking the test, Josh?
I'm taking the fucking examination.
You know, most people who take the test know a lot more American history than most of the Americans who are already citizens.
And you know, we now have a good friend, Jill, who's a immigration lawyer, and she has offered...
Yeah, I heard this. They brought this up. You're not supposed to say that on recording. Jesus. Someone's going to be knocking on my door. Mr. Ryan, this is up this tree. Thanks, guys. That's fucking great.
But she's going to help you. She said she would.
We've got an in with the immigration lawyers.
We do.
I don't even want to go there. I don't want to.
Hey, I got
2013. That's I'm all right.
Yeah, I got two weird stories to drive us out on the bus tonight.
All right,
these are pretty weird. These are pretty strange. Okay. Did you know that the island of Samoa, okay, in the South Pacific,
where the Samoans come from?
Where the Samoans come from? You've had Samoans.
not biblically.
That they are going to change their time zone.
I did not know that.
They're changing their time zone, and by doing so, they're going to cross the international date line.
And they're going to gain a day.
Their island is going to jump forward by a full day.
Yeah.
Now, the reason they're doing that is because they do most of their trading and their business with Australia and New Zealand.
Right.
Which are on the other side of the dateline. And so every week they lose 2 days of business.
Really? 2 days?
Right, because they don't – they're off on Sundays.
Oh.
And so they can't do any business on Sundays. And New Zealand and Australia, when it's Sunday there, even though it's only Saturday in Samoa, they don't do business with them either. And so they're going to change time zones, so they're in the same time zone as Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, well, the fucking Kiwis aren't going to be doing a damn bit of work any day. That ain't going to really help. It's not.
Moose balls.
I agree. And this was the weirdest story I've seen in a long, long time. Okay, police in Stafford County, Virginia, which probably explains a whole lot. Okay, had a man who was dressed in a cow suit go into a Stafford, Virginia Walmart and walk out with 26 gallons of milk. He rolls the cart right out of the store without paying, gets outside, and starts handing out free milk to anybody who is walking in the parking lot. He was arrested and charged with stealing $92 worth of milk and
being a little bit out of his mind.
He attempted to run away, and so they also charged him with fleeing the scene of a crime.
You know what else they charged him with?
No, Max, and I'm sure you'll tell me.
Utter foolishness.
You knew it was coming.
Yeah. I knew something was coming, Josh, and I couldn't figure out how to stop it.
You weren't in a world.
I was just thinking about the damn bell when the guy is running away. The clang, clang.
I want to know why the Walmart greeter didn't stop him. I mean, that little old lady, you know, the 97-year-old on the little cart sits there with the stickers. She should have tried to stop him, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, 97, wouldn't you say 92 gallons of milk?
No, 26 gallons, $92.
Yeah. Okay. But that's still, each gallon of milk is what, 8 pounds?
It's a hefty load.
You know, it's
yeah.
170, 180 pounds of milk. You know, some 83-year-old retiree is going to get in front of this cow and going to get thrust.
No, if the guy was in a cat suit, it'd be a little different. But so there he goes. He's got the milk, he's got the cow. It's like, I guess he's all right. He goes.
And I did see a picture of the guy in the cow suit.
Yeah.
And it's basically a cow suit. It's a black and white cow. And you know, I don't know what he was thinking.
Did he have all the attachments?
That's a Guernsey.
Thank you for filling us in on that.
Was it?
I try to help the podcast.
Was it a Guernsey
where I can,
or was
you know?
It a Holstein? Or can you tell the difference?
I don't know.
I think I can tell the difference. The black spotted ones are Holsteins.
Hey, Guernsey, Holstein. I don't care what it is. It's still 26 gallons of milk.
All right. So the guy.
A lot of milk.
And if you're running. How much was chocolate? I mean, there's questions.
How much was chocolate? They didn't mention chocolate milk as being having taken.
See, because it was probably a Holstein.
Hey. I think on that note, we should just end the podcast gracefully.
Yeah, there's no hope for that.
And, yeah, thank our listeners for listening, and we'll see you next week, right?
Yep.
Which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwrecked free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, we bird of friendliness, like guardian angels, it's always near. You can hear in the other by the light switch, who watches over you.
Hi, this is Miss Nicole of 8 Beer Sampler Productions. You've been listening to Max and T-Fab Pete, the fabulous penguin of Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. Listen to their podcast adventures at csapodcast.blogspot.com or download it free from the iTunes podcast store. Just search Countless Screaming Argonauts. The boys love to hear from you, so email them at csapodcast@gmail.com. Finally, if you want to show your allegiance to the show, pick up some CSA swag and help make the boys famous. You can purchase hats, shirts, and mugs, along with other appropriate gear, at Cafe Press. Click the link on their webpage. And thanks for listening.